This podcast thanks to OFX, the experts in global money transfer. Transfer funds 24/7 with no hidden fees. The smart money's on the smart move. Go to OFX.com.
Thanks for having a listen in today. Yes, don't forget our website, talkinglifestyle.com.au. You can listen live online from anywhere around this old planet or into our big hubs of Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Perth as well, where we find our own Dr. Joe Kosteridge, who's going to have a look at this new finding. I like this, Dr. Joe. It's obviously fairly much a no-brainer that self-compassion is important for mental and emotional health. Got to be nice to yourself. But new research you've been looking at has found it also plays a role in physical health. How fantastic. Yeah. Explain more. Welcome to you, mate.
Good afternoon, Ed. Yes, it's sometimes the most, I suppose, obvious things about our lives that tend to get overlooked and the ones that we don't tend to think about. And we're encouraged to be, you know, and it makes sense, to be nice to other people and compassionate to other people. But we're not really encouraged to look after ourselves. It's seen as being selfish or it's just, you know, self-absorbed. But when you're on a plane, they do say to you, if oxygen is required, you know, masks will fall from above, make sure you split your own oxygen mask before helping other people. And yeah. They don't tell you that because they're trying to, say to you, make sure nobody else gets any oxygen. What they're saying is that if you haven't got oxygen, then it's not likely that you're going to be able to help other people. So with self-compassion, the notion is that if you're not looking after yourself and you're not doing the right thing by yourself in terms of your health well-being, then it's going to be, if you think about it logically, it's actually going to be a lot harder to be helpful to other people. So you're not denying other people your assistance or input or support or empathy if you are looking after yourself. It's actually the foundation to do that. And this work showed that people who were more sort of self-compassionate, who were looking after themselves, not surprisingly, they fared better physically, because if you think that you do matter, then in one example I gave, if you've got if you're managing your diabetes or you're managing your weight, then you're more likely to think, yes, I need to do something to improve rather than beat yourself up over how badly you've done. And that is more of a spur to action, to sort of reflect and think, all right, I actually deserve to look a bit more or spend a few minutes more thinking about what I'm going to eat, or I haven't been doing much exercise, rather than, oh, I'm a bad person and isn't it terrible? It's actually important for me and it's important for my well-being and I matter enough that I will spend 20 minutes or 30 minutes doing some exercise. And people who think that way will be more likely to think they are deserving of good health and therefore set about doing the things to improve their health. So most things we do in life do start with an idea or a thought, and the rest does flow from that.
So it's not a selfish thing or an arrogance thing. You actually need to dedicate me time, essentially. But how to use it in a quality way, I guess, is what we need to expand on.
The beginning of it, as these researchers have said, is mindfulness, and we've spoken about that before from time to time, which is being aware of your own thoughts. So we can have that little voice in our mind that is critical, that's saying you're not doing well enough, you're not good enough, this is terrible, not always in those words. But we can have those niggling negative thoughts in our mind. And mindfulness is observing our thoughts. So it's almost like detaching and saying, well, hang on, this is a thought, but is this thought valid? It is a thought. It doesn't make it real just because it's a thought. So actually recognizing that we might have negative ideas about ourselves or negative feelings about ourselves, or that we might be judging ourselves, comes from being, and I think the Buddhists speak about this a little bit, but it's not a religious thing, about being the observer. So you're observing your thoughts rather than being your thoughts. And that is step one, because if you don't recognize that you're doing it, then you're never going to be able to do anything about it. Step two talks about the concept of common humanity, and it says, look, we're all imperfect. We all get things wrong. It's just the nature of being human. I suspect if we knew everything, we probably wouldn't be here. We'd have, gone to some other realm. Who knows? But,
GP who quotes Buddhist monks. Do go on.
we're all going to get things wrong from time to time, but it's not, it doesn't need to be the end of the world. It doesn't need to be more than what it is. And the third thing is this concept of self-kindness, which is saying, well, if you forgave other people. And, you know, it's interesting, we're talking, it's the week before Easter, and to just go into another religion, I mean, necessarily, you know, Jesus reportedly said, or it's attributed to him, you know, let he who is without sin cast the first stone, which is a fancy way of saying, you know, we don't always want to have a crack at other people, but we don't need to have a crack at ourselves either. So can we learn from our mistakes? Absolutely. Do we need to beat ourselves up about our mistakes? Then the answer to that one is no. So it's a different way of looking at the same issue, but seeing it as, can I learn? Can I do better next time? Rather than, I've done this all wrong, I need to be punished.
Quoting all the religions, if you start banging on about the West Coast Eagles now, though, I'll have to cut you off.
No, we might not talk about them, Ed. Right.
But I was something of an observer on the weekend. I was near the beach. There was a mum with three kids. She looked like she's wound up so stressfully, snapping at her husband. I was just like, you know, when your people watch and you can hear stuff. And then one of her, or two of her little kiddies went just into the shallows in the beach, and she was just so stressed, saying, come back in. She just looked like she was no fun to be with. And it's that sort of thing. She was probably pretty harsh on herself. And resonating in stress. And I think the study revealed in the Health Psychology Open that people who have higher levels of kindness to themselves, all those things that you mentioned, can handle stress levels a bit better?
Very much so, because it doesn't take as much emotional energy out of you. You see things that are probably quite small as being quite small. There's a book some years ago, and I can't remember the name of the author, it was called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff.
Yeah.
And there was about 100 tips in how to not get as stressed. And one of them, which I thought was brilliant, was ask yourself, will this still worry me in 12 months' time? And if the answer to that is no, then it can't be that major. So, you know, your kids have dropped some ice cream on the floor. Okay, it's not what you want. You have to clean it up. But you know what? Well, you still remember it in a year's time. You know, you're stuck in traffic, you're going to be 5 minutes late. In 12 months' time, you know, will you remember that? Will it still matter?
Yeah.
So we can, I suppose, escalate things that are really quite minor into things that are quite major. And that's very draining. It increases our stress levels. Then we put out our adrenaline and cortisol and our stress hormones. And then we just feel like we've been through the ringer. The other approach is to look at it and say, you know, can I do something about the situation? And if I can, I will. And if I can't do something about the situation, then I'm just going to have to ride it out.
Yeah, Richard Carlson, it was, who wrote that.
That was
bestseller.
Him, yes.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, wouldn't we all love to handle stressful situations a bit better? What are some of the dangers of stress and that building up?
Well, we know with chronic stress that it's linked to a whole host of illnesses, both mental health and physical health. Depression, anxiety have a stress component. Heart disease has a stress component. Heartburn and stomach problems have a stress component. There are even connections between stress and some forms of cancer. Not that it's a direct cause, but that if people are under chronic load and stress, their immune systems can be depleted. Stress affects our entire system and can manifest in a number of ways. So anything that can help us de-stress is going to be helpful. And this one is not, I think it's important to see self-compassion not so much as a form of stress management, but really more as a way of life and a different way of approaching the way we live our lives, which is to say, rather than we are inherently bad people doing the wrong things and we need to be sort of, you know, punished, as it were, we're inherently, by and large, decent people who in our own way are trying to do the right things. We may not get it right every time, but if we don't, we can learn from that and do better next time. Doing better next time is not to say that we've done it badly this time, but maybe we can improve. But the two are sometimes seen as mutually exclusive. And if people say you've done a good job, then it's assumed that that's as far as it goes. No. You can be doing well today, and maybe in a year's time, you can be doing even better.
Now, we're not talking about going to a day spa and having your fingernails painted and so on. It's more of a deeper kind of self-compassion where you're looking after yourself, isn't it?
Very, very much so. Now, part of that could include, from time to time, giving ourselves a little treat. But doing that more from a point of view of this is part of self-care. And part of self-care is doing things that you enjoy. Now, that might be going to the day spa. It might be going to the beach. It might be going for a walk in the park. It might be getting involved in some volunteer activity. You know, there's a whole host of things you can do as a little bit of me time, that it's something that you enjoy. And it's not so much a reward, and your set implies, oh, I've done something good so I can get a reward, it's just more part of health maintenance. That, yes, I've got to eat sensible foods, I need to do some exercise, I need to get enough sleep each night. And part of that also, part of that for self-care is rewarding my mind and spirit and spending some time doing something that is meaningful or enjoyable to me, or even just something that just relaxes me.
Yeah, absolutely. So ways to top up our mindfulness. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of apps and recommendations as well. Anything spring to mind as well?
Look, certainly meditation and relaxation apps are good, and mindfulness apps are good, because for people who might be listening and think, well, where can I even make a start in all of this and how does this relate to me? Mindfulness is the beginning, and mindfulness also has these slightly sort of woo-woo-ish type connotations, but it's essentially saying we are not our thoughts. We have lots of thoughts. Our minds race at thousands of miles per hour. When we do a deep breathing or if we do meditation, we're slowing that noise down and we can observe some of our thoughts. And a thought might enter our head, and rather than just assuming that this is some, gospel or it's exactly the way, hang on, why am I thinking that? Is that really valid? Is it just a thought? And is it actually the case? Or do I just believe this maybe because I read it somewhere, or I was told somewhere, or, we're sometimes influenced by what happens when we were children. So being able to observe our thoughts rather than be governed by our thoughts is the first step to, breaking out of autopilot.
Yeah, good stuff. Mate, great tips. If people want to follow through and find out a little bit more, courtesy of you, you're always examining these sort of important issues. drjoe.net.au is a great website as well. Always great to catch up, Doc. Appreciate your time today.
You are very, very welcome, Ed.
Good man. We'll speak